Actually get arrested, okay, which might be surprising to some people, but no, him and Lori are on vacation. I think they're going to Aruba or something, so hopefully he doesn't get arrested there, because I don't know what we're going to do if that happens. I don't know how that works, but anyways, if I don't know you guys, my name's Kyler. I'm the youth pastor here at Church in Action, and man, I'm so blessed to get to be our youth pastor. It has been awesome. I think I've been doing this for like 3 years now, and our youth kids are just the greatest. Man, I look forward to every single Wednesday night. It is truly awesome. And if you're a 6th through 12th grader, okay, or if you're like done with 5th grade and you're going to be in 6th grade and you want to join us for youth group, hey, we're meeting every Wednesday night, okay? We're going to go through the summer and, you know, straight into the next school year. So love to invite you into that. Today, what I want to talk about... it's something that I struggle with a ton, which, oh shoot, kids, get out of here. You don't want to be here for this. I never get that. I always forget to do that. There is a mental block. No, you're good. You just run. Run fast, run far, quickly. Oh my goodness, there is a mental block. I thought about that during worship. I was like, all right, don't forget to release the kids for kids' church. And thank you for everybody helping out with Kids Church. You almost didn't have to do it today because I was just going to roll right into this and give you a week off. So anyways, like I was saying, what I want to talk about today is the idea of contentment. Contentment, or even the flip side of that, discontentment. So this is something that I struggle with a lot personally. Which kind of makes preaching about this today a little bit easier, because what I'm going to talk about today is stuff that I have to constantly remind myself. Although it's something I'm getting a little bit better about, it's still something that, you know, I got to remind myself of every day. And like I said, with the idea of contentment, a lot of times we don't think that's the part that we struggle with. It's the discontentment side. It's things that we aren't content with. And I think the unfortunate part about this all is there's never been an easier time to be discontent than right now, okay? That's just kind of unfortunately how the world is trending at this time. And I think one of the biggest things causing that is social media, okay? Social media is not a good proponent of being content. Okay, and I understand, like, there's a lot of good things that social media does, right? You can stay connected with friends and family. You can learn to not eat the Driscoll's strawberries because they got chemicals on them, right? Saw that. If you didn't see that, it's all over social media. Boy, they're getting drilled. I'm not even sure if those are real strawberries at this point, right? I mean, those might just be, like, lab-grown or something, like 3D-printed strawberries. Who knows? Okay, but... like I said, a lot of good things social media can do, but I feel like there's a lot of damage that social media causes, okay? And I got to see kind of like both sides of this, okay? Because I was a 90s kid. I was born in 94. Isn't there other like 90s babies in here? 90s kids? Oh, let's go. What a time, right? Oh, loved that time. We grew up in a pretty cool era, probably not as cool as the 80s. Okay, which I didn't know much about the 80s until like I watched Stranger Things, and I was like, man, that's a cool time. Everything's so cool looking, right? But no, as a 90s kid, like you got to be around before social media came out, right? I remember my dad got like a work phone, okay, a cell phone, and it was a Nokia, and it looked like a brick, and it was super cool. I got to play like the snake game on it sometimes, and as a kid, that was like the coolest thing ever, man. I think the first social media that came out, I know if you're from the 90s, you remember MySpace? Yeah. Woo! Remember picking out that song that whenever someone clicked on your page, it just started blaring and stuff? Yeah, I always picked like an AC/DC song because I thought I was edgy that way. It was pretty cool. But so anyways, it's been kind of neat getting to see, you know, like both sides of like before there's a lot of social media and then after social media became a big thing. So whenever we look at discontentment, I think there's like three main categories where we become discontent. Okay, and these first two, very much social media driven. Okay, the first one is material and financial discontentment. Okay, so that's stuff like, man, I don't like the car I have. I wish I had a cooler car. Like, they have an awesome car. Why can't I have a cool car like that? Okay, or maybe it's, man, if I just made a little bit more money, I think things would be better. I think I could be more content. Or maybe it's, man, if my retirement was better, man, that'd be cool. Okay, or maybe it's, I want to go on multiple vacations every single week, or not every single week, multiple vacations a year, like all the people that I see on Facebook posting, like, man, I don't do that. Okay, and that's a big social media one there. The next one, same, relational discontentment. Okay, so this is looking at like other families' posts on social media and being like, man, I wish my family actually got along during the holidays. That'd be cool. I wish my kids were always, you know, sweet little angel babies all the time, right? But that's what you see on social media. You don't see that, you know, all three kids were crying on the way to church that day, right? And that's what social media does. Okay, and then the last one, and this is kind of one of the bigger ones and one I want to talk about a little bit more today, and that's circumstantial discontentment. And what's that mean? Your circumstances, the current circumstance you're in. Maybe that's just looking at your life right now and thinking, man, I thought it'd be different by now. I just didn't think it would be like this. And you just can't help but kind of feel that discontentment building inside. Okay, maybe it's looking just at the current situation you're in and wondering why you have to go through these struggles whenever you don't see very many other people going through the same struggles. Before we jump into the scripture and the main idea that I want to talk about today, I want to tell you what I kind of see as the two culprits that kind of feed this discontentment fire. The first one we just talked about, and it's your circumstances. Okay, just thinking, man, I just really thought it'd be different by now. And the second one, I think it's the biggest one of all, and that's comparison. Okay, comparison. And we're never going to find peace or happiness if we're constantly comparing our lives to the life of the people around us, especially if we're doing that through social media aspect, right? Because social media, you post the best of the best. And a lot of times when you're scrolling on social media, you're probably not at the best of your best, right? And whenever, you know, we're not there and we see somebody posting about all the great things that happened in their life, really hard to fall into that trap of comparison. And like I said, this is kind of like something that I struggle with. I struggle with contentment. Okay, and one of the things that scares me the most is the idea of thinking like, what if I missed my calling that God has for me because I spent too much time running towards what other people have? And not enough time running towards Jesus. And that's just something that kind of nags at me, but also helps at the same time. So before we jump into the scripture today, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day, God. Thank you for this awesome crowd of people, Lord. And I just ask that today you speak through me, God. This is something that I struggle with, God, but I know that we can find in your word how we can apply this to our lives to bring about change, God, to bring about finding true spiritual contentment in you. So, Lord, I pray that you help us to open up our minds and our hearts and our ears to hear your word, God. Lord, we love you. In your name I pray, amen. So, like I said, this is an area of struggle for me. So today what I want to do is just share with you guys, like whenever I am feeling like this, feeling discontent, this is kind of like what I turn to, what I have to tell myself in these times. So if you got your Bibles with you, go ahead and open up to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read through verses 10 through 13. Not a whole lot today. And just to give you a little bit of background on what's happening here. So Paul was arrested in Rome, okay? And he's writing this letter to the church in Philippi. Okay, and just a little more background on this. When Paul was writing this letter, like I told you, he was arrested, but he was kind of on this like house arrest. And I was kind of like reading more into it. And it's actually kind of a nicer thing than what Paul is usually, like, because usually, you know, he's getting rocks thrown at him and he's trapped in some dungeon somewhere. And so this ain't as bad for him, okay? But he's kind of on this house arrest and he's chained to a Roman soldier, okay? So as he's writing what we're going to read today, that is Paul's current circumstance. So let's go ahead and read through just these four verses here, and then we're going to go back and unpack a little bit. Okay, so Philippians 4, verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So, love this section of scripture. And I'm actually reading the ESV. Normally I read in the NLT, but Piper got me a new Bible for my birthday, which is awesome. She's been doing that for like every youth kid, which is super, super cool that she's doing that for everybody. So I've been challenged, okay, because NLT is a lot easier to read, okay, and my reading level is not very high. I'm pretty sure in elementary school I did horrible on the STAR test or whatever. You know, 90s kids probably know what I'm talking about. Yeah, everybody else like, what does that mean? All right, no, I think I scored pretty low. Let's go ahead and look back at verse 11 and kind of unpack what Paul's talking about here in this letter that he's writing to the church. So verse 11 says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I think that's the big word to pick up on there. And if you're going to circle something or highlight it, I would highlight the word learned. Okay? Paul says this is something that he learned. And that's because contentment is not natural for us. And the world is making it even more difficult for us to think that way or to live that way. Okay? So this isn't something, being content, not natural, especially now. Especially now. Because think about this. Okay? The world has so much more to gain from us if we're discontent. Okay? There's so much more for the world to gain from us if the world keeps us discontent. Oh, man, that person has, man, that's a cool car. I need to get a new car. Oh, I need a bigger house. House isn't big enough. I kind of want to keep up with my family, with my brother, with my sister. I'll have more status if I can just get more, if I can just get more and more and more. Okay? And the world gains there. And we have nothing to gain when we're in that race. Now, when Paul says this, that this is something that he learned, he's not saying that this is easy, and it's not easy for anybody, okay? Paul's not saying that now that he has found how to be content, he's not saying, I never struggle anymore because I know what contentment is. He's not saying, hardship's easy now because I know what contentment is. And he's not saying that pain no longer affects him because he's learned what contentment is. That's not what he's saying at all. I think the main point that Paul tries to get across when he's saying that he learned this is that his circumstances no longer control his contentment. Paul's current circumstances don't control his contentment. Okay, and these circumstances might look different for everybody, for anybody. Okay, maybe that's struggling financially. Maybe that's struggling at work or at school, or it could even be struggling with our own faith at times. I think one of the craziest things about circumstances is that they can change in an instant. Just because you're in a bad circumstance doesn't mean it's going to be like that forever. That's what Paul's trying to say. Okay, that's where we can find comfort through difficult circumstances. It's not always going to be that way. Okay, circumstances can change in an instant, but thankfully, our identity is rooted in Christ, and that's something that never changes. That can't change. Okay, the Apostle John said it best, I think, in John 1, verse 12. He said, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's our identity. That's our identity, and that's not something that's going to change. Okay, and we should find contentment in that fact. You see, and that idea is radically different from what the worldly standards of contentment. It says, I'll finally be content when this, this, or this happens. Okay, or when I finally get this, or I finally get that. Okay, but what Paul is telling us is that in Christ, I already possess what I most deeply need. Let's look at verse 12 now. Paul says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. One of the things that I noticed right off the bat whenever I read that is that Paul says he now knows how to handle not just poverty, but abundance. Okay, because a lot of times when we think about discontentment, we don't think about, you know, having a bunch of stuff or not being in need or whatever. We kind of think of that poverty time, not so much the abundance time. But a lot of times, when we're thinking about the idea of contentment, we tend to only think that we struggle with this concept during difficult or struggling seasons of our life, and that's just not the truth. Sometimes abundance can be spiritually more dangerous than suffering because abundance can tempt people towards self-sufficiency, pride, a comfort-based faith, or dependence on possessions instead of God. And that's what Paul's getting at here in verse 12 when he talks about that. And what happens here is everything falls right back into the same thing that we talked about a minute ago. It's just our current circumstance. And like I said, your circumstance can change in an instant. Just because things are going great right now doesn't mean they're going to forever, unfortunately. And if your possessions are what you have all your faith in, and that's where you find your contentment, like that could change in an instant. You might not always have that. If you're content because you just feel really, really comfortable in life right now, comfort's not guaranteed. It might not always be that way. Your circumstances can change in an instant. And I think Paul's life was the perfect example of someone who didn't live a circumstance-based life. Paul didn't live a wealth-based life. He didn't live a poverty-based life. He didn't live a comfort-based life. What Paul did is Paul lived a Christ-based life. Right? And he didn't always, okay? We know how Paul used to be, but, you know, thank goodness that, you know, we're a changed people whenever we accept Jesus into our heart. Let's look at verse 13 now. And this is a popular one, man. I love this verse. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Okay, super popular verse. One of my favorite verses, and not just because, you know, you got like baseball, all our athletes at schools and stuff, you know, writing it on their wristbands, even though I think that's awesome. Okay? But a lot of times, this verse is misunderstood or misused. And that's another reason why I love it, because sometimes whenever somebody has that written on their wristband, they're like, hey, what's that verse? Just ask them to explain it to you. And it can start some really fun conversations that way. But this verse is often misunderstood as like, I can accomplish any dream, or I can never fail, or God guarantees success, right? Always like, man, I never studied for tests, but I remembered this verse right before the test. I was like, I bet you I can pass it. You know what? But no, that's not what this is about. Okay, and sure, God wants these things for you, but unfortunately, that's not what it means. And in context, Paul's actually talking about enduring every circumstance that we might be in faithfully through Christ's strength. And something really cool to think about is, think about the current circumstance that Paul's in right now. I mean, this dude is chained to a Roman soldier, and he is preaching to the church in Philippi, writing this letter saying, hey, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I don't have to be in the perfect circumstance. I draw my strength from Jesus, not my circumstances. You see, and whenever you look at that verse there in 13, Paul says, or mentions all things. Okay, and the all things that Paul mentions in this verse is more so referring to remaining faithful in abundance and staying spiritually steady through hardship and surviving these suffering seasons in life that we'll face. And the reason that we're able to get through the all things that Paul talks about right here is at the very end of 13. Through him who strengthens me. Through Christ who strengthens me. Paul's saying that his strength, it's not self-generated strength. Okay? Paul is being completely sustained through Christ. And that's the point that he's trying to get across to the church in Philippi. And the point he's trying to get across to us. So I got three main takeaways, three main ideas from this scripture that I want to talk about now. And the first one is this. Success, or whatever that looks like for you, okay? Whatever you think that might bring you contentment. Success is not your identity, okay? Success is not your identity. See, a lot of times, and I've talked about this this concept before, a lot of times we get stuck focusing on the outcome and not so much the process, okay? We're so focused on the end goal or what we think that we want, and we forget about like these daily habits that we need to have in place in our life every day, okay? This is something that I talk about to my baseball players all the time is if I go up to bat and all that I'm thinking about is hitting a double and I don't hit a double, I'm immediately going to think I'm the worst player ever, okay? Because I didn't care what the process was. All I wanted to do was go out there and I had my mind set on the end. And I didn't take into account the little things I have to do to make that happen, okay? But if I step up to the plate and I'm more thinking about the process, what I need to do to make, you know, to be able to smash a ball to the fence, hit a double, and I don't, I can figure out what I did wrong, okay? Because I was thinking about the process. And I think that works in life, too, with whatever that is that your goal is or whatever you think it is that you need. If I'm only focused on that thing, it's going to be difficult. But if I'm focused on the process, on the everyday habits, spiritual habits, if I'm spending time in the Bible every day, if I'm praying every single day, it's going to be a whole lot easier if something does come up, if there is a roadblock, than if I'm not doing those things and I'm only focused on the outcome. I think Paul sums this up the best in the chapter just before this. In Philippians 3, verse 8, he says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." He then goes on in verse 12 of that chapter and says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." That's such a powerful scripture. And really, it was almost like somebody was asking Paul, like specifically Paul, like, "I'm struggling. What do I do to find contentment?" And that was his answer. And I think verse 14 especially, "I press on. I keep going." Okay? I focus on the process toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Because if you think about it, you know, in all reality, life is a lot less about what happens to you and a whole lot more about how we respond to it. My next point or next main idea here that I think we can get from this, your peace is not controlled by temporary conditions. Okay? Your peace is not controlled by temporary conditions or your current circumstances. Okay? Whenever you're feeling discontent, Okay? And like, you know, I'm no stranger to it. I told you, I struggle with this. It's really hard to find peace or feel any sort of peace whenever you're discontent. Okay? Whenever you're in the middle of that. And whenever you think about it though, it kind of makes sense. Because if I've accepted Jesus as the Lord of my life, I'm immediately a citizen of heaven. Okay? I'm no longer a citizen of the world. I'm not of the world anymore. This is not my final resting place. So it kind of makes sense for why I would feel a little bit discontent, thinking, man, there's got to be more, because there is more. And it's the treasures and the glory that God has stored for us in heaven. That's why we kind of feel sometimes like, man, this just doesn't feel right. I just thought it would be different. Man, there's so much, our future is so much brighter. God's got so much in store for us. Paul says in Philippians 4:7, I think it relates to this perfectly, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's what God's concerned about. God wants your heart. Okay? God wants your heart. Okay? He wants your mind. And those two things got to be fixed on Him. Because if not, the world's going to do everything it can to distract you from that idea, okay? To try to get your heart, to try to get your mind on it instead. And then my last point, Jesus is our true sufficiency, okay? Just like what Paul talked about, okay? I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Jesus is our strength, okay? The weak are made strong through Jesus. And we can find comfort in knowing that we don't have to rely on ourselves for strength, but from the one who made us, okay? The one who's still living in us to this day, okay? And this is what I want to close with today. Paul teaches that spiritual contentment is not found in comfort. It's not found in money, not success. It's not found in circumstances. Our spiritual contentment is found in Christ, okay? And because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we are united to Christ. We're secured in God's love, and we are strengthened by Jesus in every single circumstance we could find ourselves in. Okay, that is why Paul was able to remain spiritually steady through all the circumstances that he went through, and the reason that we will be able to also. Amen? All right, stand with me. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this time that we got to come together as a congregation. Lord, I ask that just what we talked about today, Lord, that we can take that to heart. God, that if there is somebody in here that's struggling with the idea of contentment, Lord, that they can find peace just through what we talked about, God. That we can use Paul as a great example of through every circumstance, God, that we can find contentment in you, God, because you're forever. God, we might go through difficult times. We might be in some hard circumstances in our life, God, but those are so, so temporary to the gifts that you have for us in heaven, God, to the gift of spending eternity with you. Lord, I ask that be with us this week. Lord, please guide us and direct us on your path. It's your name I pray. Amen. Guys, have a great week. Won't see you on Wednesday unless you're in youth group.
Trust you. I try to worship, but when I lift my hands, it all just feels so empty. Is it the heavy of